Yo, what's going on, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. We're doing a late night edition, but we're here. We're going to make it do what it do. Shout out to everybody worldwide tuning in. Today's show, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by BlackStarSurvival.com. Now, family, that's the website that you need to be checking out. BlackStarSurvival.com has all of your survival needs. There's so much uncertainty in the world, and at this moment or at any moment, we can find ourselves facing an emergency or situation ranging from disasters, just like happening down there in Florida right now. There was a natural disaster. There could be man-made disasters, economic turmoil, you name it. So you got to be on top of your game. And you need to have the products you need to survive. That's why y'all need to go to Black Star Survival. They have backpacks with solar power batteries. They have all types of food storage, gas masks, pocket knives, AR-15s. They have everything that you need to survive in a survival situation. So again, that's BlackStarSurvival.com. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, we're going to do something on tonight's show. We haven't done in a while. I'm going to take some calls. We're going to take some calls from the family and see how everybody's doing. Check in with folks. The phone number is 818-850-5404. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the number. I'll take a few calls. And we're going to take a real quick commercial break. So don't you move a muscle. We will be right back right here, ladies and gentlemen, on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game, and I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the women you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Yo, cupcake season is right around the corner, family, and you need to get your fragrance game all up in order. So you need to check out ashkicking.com. That's a black-owned business that sells all natural health and beauty products, and it also has fragrance products. You can get beauty products such as body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, unique incense burners, incense sticks, scented candles, and so much more. So again, you need to check out ashkicking, that's K-I-C-K-I-N, .com. What's up, family? If you're looking to support a black-owned business, check out acandle.com. Now, Acandle is a black-owned search engine that focuses on us, and that's spelled A-K-A-N-D-L-E.com. So before you visit any other search engine, visit Acandle, because Acandle.com represents us. So that, again, is Acandle.com, A-K-A-N-D-L-E.com. Download the new album by hip-hop artist Alpha Leo. The album is entitled The Greatest, and it's available on iTunes, Amazon, and Google Play. You can get it right now. Alpha Leo actually ran for president in 2016, stomping for reparations, and he's going to be running again in 2020. So get the Alpha Leo's album, The Greatest, right now, iTunes, Amazon, and Google Play.
Get your hand out of my pocket!
Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's your man, Mr. X. Get your hand out of my pocket, letting you know to catch our brand new podcast on SoundCloud.com/GYHOMP. Go to YouTube page right now. Subscribe right now. Listen right now. We on Twitter and we on Facebook and we on Instagram. We got the information. We're combining consciousness with activism. Don't be on the couch yakking at yak. Get out and do some real work. So check us out at Get Your Hand in My Pocket YouTube. I hope to see you there, because it's brand new, it's fast acting, and we on the ground. Trust. Yo, I only got one thing to say to you.
Get your hand out of my pocket!
There's a war going on, and don't get scared now. Peace.
Peace. 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail, or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
Get ready, Atlanta and surrounding areas. Get ready, Atlanta and surrounding areas. King Flex Entertainment proudly presents Ms. Slide live in concert. Coming to the Center Stage Theater in Atlanta, Saturday, December 22nd, 2018, 7:30 p.m. Is bringing the funk party to Atlanta, performing songs from their critically acclaimed album, Egyptian Musk. Also performing, special guest, the APX. Atlanta, don't miss the funk party, concert event of the year. Get your tickets to see Mink Slide live in concert with special guest the APX at Ticketmaster.com. For more information, go to MinkSlide.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
You're going to hell, Shonda. Because you're a hoe.
Yo, what's going on, guys? Let me put on some of that mellow Mackin music. Some of that mellow, cool, late night music. Hey, this is DJ Easy Dick. Because it's late, so I got to be in the late night mood. But shout out to everybody in the chat room, man. We're here. Shout out to everybody from the UK. Shout out to the African brothers and sisters who's tuning in. Shout out to everybody. Speaking of Africa, we got the Malema shirts available, y'all. A lot of people have been asking about those Malema shirts. We got some Malema shirts at HiddenColorsFilm.com. These are limited edition shirts. Shout out to everybody who got their shirts already. We just put them up for sale on HiddenColorsFilm.com. These Malema shirts are limited edition. There's only a certain amount made. We didn't make a whole bunch of them. Really, I just made them for the 300. Because that's really who I'm concerned with. It's very important, family, that we act on what we speak. We talk a lot about Pan-Africanism. We talk about Africa this, Africa that, but we need to start showing solidarity. Because these white supremacists are showing global solidarity with each other. They're even showing, they're showing solidarity with the white supremacists in South Africa. So we need to be on that. We have to have a solidarity outreach to the brothers and sisters there who are not coons. And understand, the ones that, a lot of the ones that are allowed over here, a lot of them, they are vetted to be on the coon train. I don't want them to be the mold and the model of how we should view all of the brothers and sisters over there. Because again, I've been over there and there's some riders over there. Now you do have some full-blooded coons, like that lady who climbed the Statue of Liberty. She's been cooning it up on her social media. But again, you got riders over there. And our brother Julius Malema, that brother's a rider. And he wants to have justice in his country. He's trying to get them white supremacists up out the mix. And we should not be afraid to stand with that. See, black people, we got to get on code. Shout out to POV Hilarious D in the chat room. He's modding it up right now. My man made a good point. We got to get on code globally. The thing is, with black people, we'll co-sign other Africans that white people co-sign. Everybody got on the Mandela thing because the white people got on the Mandela thing. So when white people said, okay, Mandela ain't a bad guy no more, then everybody started yelling, Mandela! We love Mandela! Everybody got on the Mandela kick. So we got to get off that. We got to raise up and give props to our own people and reach out and support our own people globally who's on the same page of trying to replace the system of white supremacy with the system of justice. Because understand, when by the time people in the dominant white society are co-signing a Negro, oh, he is too late. Oh, he's been vetted. He has a luxury seat on the coon train. You understand? There's a reason why they talk a lot about Nelson Mandela and not Winnie. Winnie Mandela was a rider. You understand that? So we gotta not be afraid to rock with our African brothers and sisters who are on code. And fortunately, there are a lot of other African people who are getting on code. I just read over there in Sierra Leone. Shout out to my brother Jimmy B over there. My brother, real good friend of mine, Jimmy B from Sierra Leone. The leadership over there, they rejected the Chinese building an airport over there. I think they were trying to build an airport. Chat room, please correct me if I'm wrong. But the Chinese, they're trying to make moves over there. They're giving out these tricky ass loans, knowing that the people are going to default on the loans. And once they default on the loans, they said, okay, well, let me get this bridge. Okay, well, since you defaulted on that loan, let me go ahead and get this port with all this oil. So they're running all types of game. They're giving these big loans that they know the brothers and sisters can't repay. So they're getting access to all those resources. And there's some African leaders saying, no, keep your little airport money. We're fine. There's people getting on code. But again, like I said, we got to support. We got to show, and not just talk, show them. Show them that we're rocking with you. Show them that we're rocking with them. So one way, and I'm creating a liaison, because I've been over there. I've given thousands of dollars over there to South Africa, Zimbabwe, all those places. You know, I'm just one person. When I say that we rock with y'all, you know, I want them to see it. When I was over there in Zimbabwe, I was all in the media letting them know that we rock with them. And they were shocked. They were like, well, damn, how come y'all ain't never said nothing before? I'm like, shit, I'm here. Because, you know, a lot of black people over here, we do lip service, but, you know, a lot of niggas are scared to go over there to Africa and get down. Ain't enough white women over there. Y'all niggas want to go somewhere where the white women are plentiful. So you don't want to go over there with family. You understand? So when I say we rock with them, let's show them that we all rock with them, or a significant number of us rock with them. Zimbabwe is absolutely beautiful. Somebody said that in the chat room. Beautiful place. Just the energy and the vibe. Even South Africa, even though our brothers and sisters are being squandered and put in those shanty towns over there, the spirit is there. It's still a beautiful country. Once they get rid of the damn white supremacists, they'll be real good. Black people, stop being afraid to stand up for fucking justice. Black people are so afraid and scared to say, hey, look, I don't want white supremacy dominating and controlling my life. Stop being afraid. Because if you're afraid of something or you're afraid to say something, you're not going to do nothing. There shouldn't be white supremacists running around dominating the people over there and over here. So we got to reach out. So again, everybody, I'm talking to the 300, not everybody. I'm only talking to the 300 because we got a lot of coons and coonettes and mammies and bedwinches, and a lot of them are here for the entertainment, which is fine. That's okay. But the riders, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com, get your Malema shirt, and wear it. That's the thing. I want you to wear it on your social media so we can share it and let the world know that we rock with them. For real, for real. I'm telling you, something like that, that's a gesture that's going to go over very, very well and let them know that we're serious and they're serious and we got to link up. You understand? I stand with Malema big time. And you know what's funny? I posted the photos of the shirts, and people love the shirts. I posted on Instagram, and oh, it was just, y'all know the mayonnaise came through dripping. Y'all know the mayonnaise came through a dripping. Oh, Tariq, why are you standing for Malema? Two wrongs don't make a right. All the white supremacist catchphrases, they're all on my Instagram, splaining, trying to talk down on Malema because Malema doesn't want to have white supremacists dominating the land over there. I don't want to hear no excuse. Somebody had the nerve in the comment section talking about, well, what would Martin Luther King think? They love trying to dig Dr. King out their asses when it comes time to stand up to white supremacy. When black folks are talking about, look, we ain't taking this no more, all of a sudden they want to get those MLK quotes ready. What would Martin Luther King think? Well, I don't know what he would have thought, because if I could ask him, I would, but your white supremacist brethren killed him. So take your mayonnaise somewhere else. Let's not even entertain that in a serious manner. These white supremacists are waging all-out war on us. And they try to be friendly. Some are more hostile, some are more liberal, some are more conservative. But understand, they're all just two sides of the same coin. That's the theme of today's show. The white supremacists, they're all two sides of the same coin, and they run this game on us, and we keep falling for the game because we're looking for somebody to be nice. We think if somebody's nice to us, that they're not that bad. I think it was yesterday, in Michigan, there was a trial. This white supremacist, and I talked about this before, but the trial just started. This white supremacist in Michigan, I forgot what part of Michigan it was. I don't know if it's in the suburbs of Detroit. But a 14-year-old black boy, him and his mom, they moved to a new neighborhood. So he was going to a new school. I think it was his first day of school. He missed the bus. His mom took his phone because he didn't do his homework or something like that. The details are a little sketchy, but he had to walk to school. And the kid got lost. Number one, black parents. I'm going to say this again. I've said this a million times. Are you out of your fucking mind letting a black child walk anywhere by themselves? Black people, we cannot be this goddamn stupid. Black people, I'm talking to every black person, every black parent. Are you out of your fucking mind letting black children, 14, that's still a child, letting them walk around anywhere by themselves? You got to be stupid as shit. In the day and age we live in, my daughter will be 19 in a couple of months. I just start letting her ass out by herself, and I ain't even exaggerating. I just started doing that a couple of years ago. I wouldn't let my daughter out my damn sight, let alone walk around a neighborhood by herself. Please. But anyway, this kid, little boy, he's lost. He ain't got no phone. His ignorant ass mama, and I really have a problem with her putting this kid in this situation. So this kid is walking around. He's lost. He asked one person, I think he might ask the one white person who was nice to him, for directions. But he still got a little lost, so he decided to go to somebody's house and knock on the door to ask for directions. And this white supremacist jumped out the house with a shotgun and started bussing. This boy ran off, almost got killed. The white supremacist and his wife, they tried to lie and said the boy was breaking in the house. And then the white supremacist said that he tripped on the steps and the gun went off. But as video, the fool has surveillance video, and you can see that the kid was non-threatening, rang the doorbell. The man came out and immediately shot at him. You dig? And they're making all types of excuses for this guy. They're so sad that they had to prosecute the guy. And the trial is going on now. And the guy is out on bail. The guy, they only gave him $50,000 bail. So law enforcement, they're looking out for this guy. And in court, they were saying stuff like, well, somehow his finger was on the safety and it somehow moved to the trigger. I mean, the way they're describing it, like he shot by accident almost, the way they're trying to make it sound. And then the guy, when he was talking to the police, because the police, they're forced to be honest when you got it on film and you've contradicted the dude's lie. And then when you interrogate him, he's still saying bullshit. The cops are like, fuck, man, just give me something. The cops want him to give them something so they can flip for him. They're like, look, help us help you, man. But he's such a dirty white supremacist piece of garbage. He's just being honest. He's like, well, I came out and yeah, he was breaking in the house, but no, he wasn't breaking in the house. Come on, man. And then the white supremacist said, well, you know what? I'm just tired of being a victim. Now, that's very interesting. He said that he's tired of being a victim. His name is Jeffrey Ziegler. Thank you in the chat room. I'm very bad with names sometimes. And I'm also, I'll be saying the dates wrong. I know on my Bill Cosby video that's starting to go viral, some of the years, I kept saying, I was meaning 1 year. I was meaning 1997, but I kept saying 2007, and I was getting my years mixed up. So if y'all look at that video I did about Bill Cosby, some of the years I got wrong because I was trying to retain so much information, but I digress. But this guy, Jeffrey Ziegler, that was very interesting what he said, because the police, they pinned him down on all his lies. They had to interrogate him, and all of his lies kept tripping up on each other. They're like, hey, man, he didn't break in. He's not a criminal or nothing. The kid was lost. It does check out that he's new at the school, and he was lost, and he wasn't breaking in. I mean, damn, man. I mean, then he broke down, and he said, look, I'm just tired of being a victim. Victim of what? What is he a victim of? See, Dr. Welsing taught us about this. These people, they're tired of being a victim of nature. I want black people to understand this. These white supremacists, they're getting beaten down by nature. Nature is punishing these white supremacists. They live in these little segregated white supremacist enclaves, and nature is punishing them. They're going extinct. Their birth rate is zero. They're dying rapidly, while black people are procreating rapidly. And any black male is perceived as a threat to white supremacy just by the black male's existence. And I want black people to understand this. Dr. Welsing eloquently broke it down decades ago, and black people still don't really fathom that idea. We got to understand our existence is a threat to these white supremacists. Just us being here. And it doesn't matter how old or young you are, especially if you're young, you're really a threat. I'll say this, if you're older, you're somewhat less of a threat because you're out of your sexual prime. But what they'll do when you're older, they'll get revenge on you for all the sexual conquests you had when you were younger, just like what they did with Bill Cosby. That was really revenge, what they did with Cosby. Banging all them white women like that, had getting all that money. So that was them, you know, putting him in his place. You banged all these white women. That was the real crime. And plus it gave the white women an out. It's the old Othello thing. The whole, I was drugged, that's why I slept with the black man. Do you know how old that myth is? A white woman has to be drugged or out of her mind in order to sleep with a black man. I did a whole show about that some years ago, talking about Othello. The story Othello is about that. Othello is about a Moor. Othello, meaning black man. Moor is black. With the white woman, Desdemona. And they were saying in the play, well, Desdemona must have eloped with that Moor because he drugged her. That's the only way she would go off with a Moor. She must have been drugged. She must have been out of her mind. That's why that play is so popular. And they always do little renditions and different versions of it. You understand? So it's very interesting. We got to understand how deep this thing is with these white supremacists. And they're always talking about a white woman being drugged by a black person in order for her to have sex with them. That's why they try to demonize black pimps. They always say the black pimps then drug the white women. They done got them on drugs. And there's a case now, I think in Milwaukee, there's a, is he a football player? Because I don't really follow sports like that. The brother Cephas, I can't pronounce his first name as a Quan. I'm not going to try to pronounce one of them single mother names that they be giving their kids. You dig? But what's the chat room? Help me out. What's that guy in Minnesota? Not Minnesota. In Milwaukee. What's that guy's name up there? Quintez. Thank you. Quintez. There's a case now where Quintez Cephas, he's a star player on the team up there at the college he goes to. Two white girls have a threesome with him. They go up to him, go up to his room. They have a threesome. Everything is cool. They're texting him afterwards. There's video surveillance of him talking to the women afterwards. Everything is hunky-dory. Everything is cool. The women are texting him with smiley faces and hearts and all that. Then the brother gets charged for rape. They didn't charge that dude for raping two women at the same time. I mean, let that sink in. They charged this brother with raping two women at the same time. And the charge is because the women were drunk, so they were impaired. And they're hanging a 40-year sentence over this dude's head. The maximum sentence, I think, is 40 years. So they're going forward with this case, and it's a somewhat liberal white lady judge who allowed this trial to go forward. Her name is Jill something. I can't pronounce her last name. Some of these people I just don't give a shit about because all the suspected white supremacists becomes one big blur. And that's how you got to think. That's why I don't be remembering their names. So they're saying that both of these women were doubly impaired, so he double raped them. And they're going forward with the trial. And the woman, the judge, she's one of those judges who ran on a platform. She's going to stop the racial disparities in the justice system. That was her campaign theme. And she went right along with team white supremacy. Understand this. All of these people, they're just two sides of the same coin. They'll talk a good game around election time. They'll make a couple of good little catchphrases. But when it comes on down to it, they're team white supremacy. And let me say this. These brothers who are all these star athletes, y'all really got to watch that, because these white supremacists, they deliberately send these white girls up here to fuck your careers up. That's a very deliberate thing. They send them white girls up there deliberately to throw a wrench in your shit. They love the fact that they can destroy somebody's life and career based on "I'm white and I say so." They love that. That was a setup. Brothers, y'all got to watch that. These people understand white supremacy and how it works, and they play dumb. The only people who are dumb about it are black people. The white supremacists, their own code. They know what white supremacy is. Black people, please stop waiting on a confession from white supremacy. Please stop waiting on them to confess. It's their job to deny and act dumb. They're not dumb. You need to be the one understanding how white supremacy works, and you don't really have no friends in the system of white supremacy. You just don't. That was a setup that they did on that brother. They knew what they were going to do. And it could have went different ways. Hell, one of the opposing teams, they could have said, "Okay, look, what we're going to do, go send some of our little slutty gals up there to that room. Those Negroes can't resist that. And once they hit it, we got them. Now we got that nigga off the team, so now our team can win." They do shit like that. Boy, they will weaponize some of them white women. They'll sacrifice a couple. You know, they play chess with it. They'll have a couple of pawns. They'll push them over to a few Negroes. They don't mind, as long as it's going to help the whole team. That's why they'll parade Kim Kardashian and the family around. They'll parade them around. They have the Kardashians sleeping with every nigga on the planet. They're like, "Okay, we'll promote this all day to give the illusion that we're just one big old happy racial melting pot. Everything is all hunky-dory. Everything is all good. There's no racism. Look at the Kardashians. They're the biggest stars ever, and it's just niggas running up and in and out that house all day. If there was racism, would we promote that?" You understand? So they have no problem playing that game, but don't you fall for that. Because ain't no such thing as a liberal or conservative. These are trick terms that they use on you. All of these people are team white supremacy. And right now is election time. And, you know, they're going to blacks. They start slithering over to black people. They start coming up in the churches. Sometimes some of them might acknowledge brutality. That one cat down in Texas, he goes into the churches. He'll acknowledge police brutality, but won't say what he's going to do about it, which is nothing. He's not going to do nothing. And then you got some of the other ones, the so-called conservative white supremacists, who, if you notice, you look around the country, they're striking thousands of black people off the voter rolls. They're purging black folks off the voter rolls so they can't vote, especially down there in Georgia. There's a sister trying to run for governor, and they're purging tens of thousands of black people off the voter roll. So these white supremacists, there's no fairness with them. They don't give a shit about fairness. They'll do anything in order to stay afloat. And they'll pretend to be your friends all day and go purge every Negro they can off the voter rolls. But black people got to get off this notion that there's a conservative and a democratic difference between the white supremacists. There is none. Listen to how some of the so-called liberals talk about us. Bette Midler, she's supposed to be all super liberal. She said something the other day talking about women are the niggers of the world and that old bullshit, trying to compare the struggle of white women to the struggle of black people. That's basically when they start talking that women are the niggers of the world, they're trying to say white women are treated just as bad, so we need to get all the benefits that black folks are supposed to get. I want y'all to be very clear. That's what they mean when they say that. Understand how to decipher their bullshit. When they start talking that women are the niggas of the world and trying to compare themselves to us, no, there is no comparison. And the problem with the Bette Midlers and people like that are these shea butter bedwench intersectional Negroes. They're the ones who help enable that. And family, we're going to have to get to a position where we're going to have to make bed wenches and moist coons. We're going to have to look at them as the complete enemies of black society. We're going to have to really define our enemies and treat them as such. Because the shit they do really undermines us. We let a lot of fuckery go on, and then people get to come back and slither back around us and post up like everything is cool, and then get around white mommy and white daddy and get their marching orders to come back over here and undermine us some more. You understand? The coon problem has to be dealt with. Simultaneously as the white supremacist problem. You understand? But you have these so-called liberals, just like in the case of Brother Cephas, that judge was liberal leaning. You got all these liberals who come around us now trying to get that black vote. And understand, these liberals will undermine you the same way the white supremacists. The Me Too movement is a liberal white female movement. That's supposed to be liberal. That's a liberal movement. These are liberal white women who's running that whole thing. And notice the targets are black men. The main targets are black men. Now, we know they helped get Bill Cosby in jail. They're taking credit for that. Harvey Weinstein, he's about to get his shit dismissed. They're positioning to dismiss Harvey Weinstein. But other black people are being charged. Fabulous. The grand jury came back and said they're going to charge him with felonies because he got into that domestic thing with his girlfriend. So they're going to start plastering his face all over the place. So they're going to make black men, or they've made black men the face of sexual violence and domestic violence, which is what the white supremacist feminists, they've always done that. Nothing has changed. See, black people, we keep hoping that these people are going to, there's a flip of the coin and there's going to be something else on the other side of the coin. No, it's still some white supremacy on there. It's still white supremacy. They're the same. They've never changed. They've been doing the same thing very consistently, nonstop, for 500 years. What makes y'all think these people are going to change? Black people think they're going to change because they start changing the language and the words. See, black folks, we get fooled by words very quickly, and we stop taking an account of the actions. And remember, the whole Bill Cosby thing, he was extorted by liberals. These are liberals extorting Bill Cosby. And now you have all these white feminists and these white women out here trying to take a knee like Kaepernick and putting up their fist in the air like the black power fist, just co-opting shit. because of these intersectional bed wenches sitting up here aligning themselves with them. So that's what they want to do. They want to latch themselves on to us so that they can get benefits funneled and siphoned back into their communities. They've been running this game on us for the longest. Because them standing alone, they can't be victims. The white supremacist females, what is she a victim of? The white supremacist female has 50% of everything the white supremacist male received. But they keep running that game, and y'all let them run that game. And the thing is, while we're out here trying to cupcake and find liberal and benevolent white people to like us and be kind to us, see, we got to get off that. Because it's not going to happen. A kind white supremacist is the worst. Because understand the difference between the liberal white supremacists and the conservative white supremacists is they both want us back on the plantations. They both want us on the plantations. But one wants you in the slave quarters and one wants you in the house so they can rape you. And that's the thing. We think the slave quarters might be a little better than the raping, and some people think the raping might be a little better than the slave quarters. So we're both confused. So we're running in and out of the house, going from the slave quarters to the rape room. And that's what we've been doing nonstop. Look at slavery, family. Let's break it down. If you're a slave in the slave quarters, it's cold, you're sleeping on a dirt floor, you're hungry, you're not getting enough food, you got to take a shit. You got to go all the way outside in the woods. And you're looking at the big house and you seeing the lantern on. You smelling the biscuits from the big house. You're like, damn, man, I'd do anything to get in there. I would do anything to get in that big house. I know it's warm in there, man. It's so cold. I'd do anything to get out. I'll snitch on niggas to get in that damn big house. Man, they got bath water that's warmed up, blankets. I could sleep on a bed. It's so nice in there. Man, I would love to get in that big house. And then you have another slave in the big house saying, shit, I wish I can get out of here. This dude is raping me every night. I got to get raped every night by this dude. Then I got to get tied up and beaten by this dude. And then when his friends come over, they got to run trains on me in this house. And after they rape me, I got to get up and make breakfast for the whole family. And the missus is mad at me because I'm being raped and I can't do anything about it. And she's beating me. I got to get beaten by the missus like in 12 Years a Slave. And then the kids are running around here. Some of these kids are Master's kids that I had. And now I got to watch the missus beat on my kids. Man, I would love to get out of this house. That's why when you look at the slave narratives and the runaway slave roles, most of the runaways were house slaves. Most of the people who got the fuck out of Dodge were the ones in the house because they were in the belly of the beast. They saw the white supremacist up close and they saw how fucked up he was. And the missus, they said, look, I'm just going to risk my life to get up out of here. The George Washington slaves did it. They ran. George Washington slaves got the fuck up out of Mount Vernon. You understand? And that's how we are with politics. We deal with the conservatives and the liberals the same way. They're the same. They're both slave owners. and we think that one form of mistreatment is better than the other form of mistreatment. Understand, black people, us getting our brains blown out by the police, most of that was under Democrats. These motherfuckers were Democratic. These police chiefs, these mayors all around the city with these blue laws helping the police, these were Democrats, dude. That's why black people, when they start talking about Trump and what he's going to do, they've done it. Now, Trump is going to do something. It's going to have to be on a grand scale. But the thing is, if it's going to be on a grand scale, there's going to be a grand retaliation. And that's something that they don't know if they want to risk or not. Because if you go all out, meaning just start rounding black people up like they're trying to imply with all this Chicago talk, because Trump is doing this whole thing where he wants to bring stop and frisk back to Chicago. So what they want to do, remember, Chicago is a code word for all black people. Chicago is a word for all black people. Whenever they talk about Chicago, that means all black people. So they're talking about stop and frisk and just shaking every black person down. They might be planning some type of mass incarceration or whatever, but that will backfire. That will backfire. Because once black people know what the threat is, then niggas are going to start going for broke. And see, that's what the Democrats don't want. See, that's the problem with the Democrats. The Democrats are like, okay, look, we want to have these niggas rounded up too, but we want to do it in a more subtle way so they don't know. We want to talk good at them. We want to finesse them a little bit and just kind of ease them in there and make them blame themselves. And the conservative white supremacists are like, no, let's just go all out. Let's get all alt-right people. Let's get our militia groups and let's just start rounding the niggas up. And they're like, well, look, if these niggas retaliate, it might go another way. We don't know about that. So that's the dilemma they're having right now. Understand, they're just fighting on who's going to mistreat us. Who gets to control the mistreatment of us? That's what it boils down to. They're just trying to decide who's going to control the mistreatment of all of us. And we're going to have to get into a position where we say, none of y'all are going to mistreat us. That's where we need to be. That's where our heads need to be. We're not going to get mistreated by anybody. You have a God-given right to protect your life and the life of your children. And if your life is taken or your life is threatened, everybody should go out. We got to have that mentality. This thing of sitting around thinking that we're going to coon our way out of it and do some splaining and try to get people to see our sides. No, we got to get off that. We got to get into a position where if people are threatening us, we will be threatening to them. That's the only way to think at this point. You're going to have to treat other people the same exact way they treat you. That's the golden rule. I always talk about that. We're going to have to start treating other people the exact same way they treat us. Don't let these people start running a moral high ground trip on us. And I saw something interesting with Eric Holder. Eric Holder was talking about, well, Michelle Obama said, when they go low, we go high. He said, no. When the Republicans go low, we kick them. So now he's getting a little tough talk now. Okay, all right, Eric Holder. Oh, Eric Holder wasn't talking like that when they were in office. Oh, he wasn't talking all that tough talk then. And sure enough, the white supremacists ran with that. They're talking about Eric Holder's trying to create anti-GOP violence and all that crap. So they're trying to spin it. But the white supremacists, they'll try to use that to justify them harming us, because they're harming us anyway. And they'll try to use that to justify harming us even more. So that's why we got to be on our P's and Q's. We got to be on top of our game, and we got to be in fuck it mode. So with all this talk about them doing something in Chicago, this is why they keep pumping up all of these killings in Chicago. So whatever they do to Chicago, to the black people there, will seem justified. I saw a video recently. Some cops ran up in some people's houses. They ran up in somebody's house, and the black people there held the cops hostage. I wanted to play the audio. I can't find the audio, but they had the cops in the house held hostage because they said a woman spit on a police officer or something, and then they just ran up in somebody's house without a warrant, and the people in Chicago had them hemmed up. And one of the cops pulled out his gun, and the brothers in the house was like, man, I dare you to shoot that fucking gun. Pop that shit off and watch what happens. And a lot of white supremacists are upset about that because black people, you seeing people who don't have that fear no more. But the brothers were telling the cops, hey, look, you up in this house, you ain't got no warrant, you ran up in here, you talking about shooting people, pop that gun off and watch what happens. They told the police, you pop that gun off, I dare you. And the cop put his fucking gun up too. You understand? Once you get that spirit, you'll see some things change. All this groveling, and see, that's the thing. Notice all the black people, the ones who are getting bust on and ambushed by these cowardly ass white supremacists, are black people begging and pleading and crying. And usually they're doing it to people who are already vulnerable, like children. You got to understand who you're dealing with. These white supremacists are fucking cowards. You're dealing with grown ass cowards. And the only thing that protects them really is their system. That's why they are so reliant upon the system. That's why whenever the system breaks down, they get into panic mode. This is why all of these natural disasters that's happening, that's the thing that got them fucked up. I want y'all to understand, when a natural disaster happens, the white supremacists are vulnerable. We're vulnerable to a certain degree, real poor black folks, because, you know, niggas be waiting around for white folks to save them. But the white supremacists are very vulnerable at that time. Black people got to understand that. So while there's a natural disaster, black people out here trying to get flat screen TVs and shoes, the white supremacists out here with guns. The minute there's a disaster, they got guns, guns, guns. They go into vigilante mode. Because once there's a flood, once there's a storm, once there's a disaster, everybody's equal now. So ain't no system. You ain't gonna get on that phone and call 911 and get your personal security guard to come protect you, because that's what 911 is for white supremacists. That's why black people protesting about police brutality, that stop all that. Who are you protesting to? The white supremacists love the police. They're not going to disarm the police and stop them from harming you. The police are the ones who protect their privileges. The police are the most powerful people in the country. Because they have, and Johnny Cochran said this before, they have the decision to make a life or death call right then and there. Not a judge, not a prosecutor. A police officer can make a life or death decision. He can be the decision. He can be the judge, jury, and executioner right then and there. So that's why they put a lot of stock into the police. They love police. Whenever police around, they feel safe. Because they know that they're going to be fully protected. I saw some shit the other day. There was some white people on a boat somewhere. They were whale watching, and there was a whale that got under the boat. One of the damn white women called the police on the whale. I'm not even exaggerating. They're in a boat. This bitch called the police on a whale. The video is out there. Y'all look that up. That's how much they love the police. The police is like God to them. That's like an angel. The police is like the guardian angel that comes and saves them. They love the police. You understand? But the thing is, we have to understand that copping pleas, kissing ass, zaddy worship, and that's another thing. This zaddy worship is pathetic. And I get on the brothers for, you know, Becky ass licking, but some of these sisters out here with the zaddy worship, that was something on Baller Alert. Somebody showed me a post on the Instagram page, Baller Alert. It was the Asian guy from the show Insecure. And I want to say that they mentioned that he dated black women or something like that. And all the comments below were just sickening. It's just black people, we're some of the most ass-kissingest, thirstiest motherfuckers on the planet when it comes to some group, another group of people. They were all, oh, girl, he's so fine. Ooh, he's Asian man. We'll have some blazing babies. Just thousands of comments of who he's so sexy. Asian man. Ooh, I love me an Asian zaddy. He got him a black girl. Yes. Yes. All that old shit. That zaddy worship. And when you go up in one of these stores, these nail shops or these beauty supply stores, and they bust you in the head with a bottle of edge control gel, all of a sudden, hey, where the brothers at? How come y'all ain't protecting me from Jackie Chan? No, y'all can't have it both ways. You can't be choosy Susies. That's the thing. Black society is a renegade hoe mentality that runs through it. Let's get into some Mac lessons real quick, because it's late. I feel real Mac-ish. Let's get into a Mac-ish mood. Let's go back into some old Mac lessons. You can't be a choosy Susie hoe. If you're going to be a hoe, at least be a hoe and hoe by the rules. And I'm talking metaphorically here, by the way. I'm talking metaphorically here. But on the streets, when you have a hoe who's pimpless, that's a renegade. Renegades like to jump from trick to trick to trick to trick until there's some danger. So the renegade, when there's a little danger somewhere, she's working somewhere new, she finds a little chili pimp somewhere and then goes to another pimp and then goes to another pimp. Hoes who go to different pimps are not high quality hoes, as the players would say. She's going to different pimps, because there's a reason she's not staying with them. That means her hoeing is whack, or she don't respect the game. So they call them choosy Susies, just bouncing from pimp to pimp. And when something happens to her, she's wondering why nobody has her back. Now you out here stuck, and Trick then got you hemmed up. Law enforcement then got you hemmed up. Ain't nobody out here reaching out for you, because you were choosy Susie all your life. You didn't choose up on no real folks. You weren't paying like you were playing. You were fucking around in the game, trying to be a renegade. You were disloyal. So now you out here leaking by yourself and stuck. So any game you're in, you can't have a choosy Susie mentality. You can't have a disloyal mentality. You can't have a mentality where you just bouncing from everybody to everybody, but then you want somebody to be loyal to you. You want somebody to put themselves out for you. You want somebody to put their neck out for you when you're not loyal. The minute a motherfucker with another exotic accent say something to you, you running with your mouth wide open. And too many black men and women get down like that. And we got to get off that bullshit. You pay like you weigh. And if your game is light, the ism is going to be light. and the dedication is going to be light. You get what you give. Ain't no way around that. But like I was saying earlier, when it comes to liberals and conservatives and all of these people, all of them are one of the same. They're just two sides of the same coin. Earlier, Alec Baldwin, did y'all see the tweet? Not tweet, it was an interview that Alec Baldwin did on for the Hollywood Reporter. And I'm going to get on that in a minute. Let me get a call. A lot of folks are calling. I said I was going to get calls and haven't taken a call. What's up? Who's calling?
Hello?
Hey, what's up, man? Who's this?
Hey, Tariq. How's it going, man? I had just a quick question.
What's your name? What's your name, brother?
Oh, my name is Will.
Where are you calling from, Will?
And I'm calling from L.A.
Oh, there you go. What's on your mind?
Neighborhood.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been trying to plan a vacation out to Yosemite Park, and all the advertisements I see is mostly marketed towards white people, whether it's, you know, marketing sports or marketing fishing or hunting, whatever. And I want to know, why is it that there's no representation for other people, like minorities or that type of stuff? You know, I always see that, and, you know, there's a lot of black people I see at the parks, and I'm wondering, like, why is it only marketed toward those people?
Now, how is it marketed towards them? How is it marketed towards them?
Well, if you go to Yosemite, right, all the signs by it, when you see people on those signs, it's all white people. And I just want to know, you know, 10% or 15%, or I'm not sure how percent of America is black. I don't know, like, why is it that these parks are never marketed toward those people?
Well, in Yosemite, I don't think a lot of black people go to Yosemite. You know, that's probably why. I think a lot of white families go out there.
Yeah,
that's what it is. They know that it's mostly white people who go to places like that, places where black people go. We go to New Orleans, and there's other, you know, we go to different places culturally. But, you know, as far as the woods and shit like that, there's too many white supremacists around those areas. So we ain't really trying to go to woods for vacationing. Now, what are you? You're a Hispanic dude?
Sorry, man?
Are you Hispanic or white? What are you?
No, I'm Spanish. Hispanic white, I guess, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, are you Mexican or what are you?
Spanish, from Spain.
Oh, so you're from Spain. What part of Spain you from?
My family, we're from Valencia.
Okay. Where are you from? Were you born here or was your family?
Yeah, no, I was born here. I was born in near Watts.
Okay. There you go. All right, man. Well, thank you for the call, brother.
Hey, thank you.
All right, a Spanish dude from Spain. All right. A white man. Okay. This motherfucker, you're white. You tried to really clean that up. He's a white man. Yeah, he's a white dude. And watch, I should have kept him on the phone, but why? No, because he would have filibustered some more. But watch that. Motherfuckers act like Spain ain't in Europe. You dig? You're white. Yeah, I'm a European, you know, Spain, Spanish. Motherfucker, Spain is in Europe. He's talking like he's an essay or something. I'm like, what are you? Or like you at the Latin Music Awards? I mean, what's the deal? What's up, Ashe Main? All right, he's in the chat room. Shout out to him. All right, the phone number is 818-850-5404. That is the number. But Alec Baldwin, let me get on Alec Baldwin's tweet. Alec Baldwin, and remember, Alec Baldwin has said some real funny style racial shit before. But Alec Baldwin was talking about his Trump impression that he does on Saturday Night Live. They have him on there shitting on Trump, doing his Trump impression. And the Hollywood Reporter says, this is Alec Baldwin's quote. Ever since I played Trump, black people love me. I mean, they love me. Everywhere I go, black people go crazy. I think it's because they're most afraid of Trump. Okay. So Alec Baldwin might have been somewhere and he saw a couple of black folks and they gassed him up. Let me say this. First of all, he doesn't know a lot of black people. Black people we have a habit of gassing up celebrities when we see them. Black people will do that. So black people, we got to, well, I think people in general, but black people really, black people will really put a lot of extras on it when you see a celebrity. Oh, man, God damn, look at you, man. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger, man. I love you, Arnold Schwarzenegger. You the shit, Arnold Schwarzenegger, man. I watched all your movies, Arnold Schwarzenegger, man. I was Terminator for Halloween, man. I love you, dude. Black people like that with everybody. You understand? Black people just get like, people do that shit with me all the time. When I'm out, and my motherfuckers just act like I'm fucking Peebo Bryson when I'm out somewhere. Oh, Tariq, man, I love you, nigga. God damn, man, I got your cologne, man. I've been bumping that Mink Slide all fucking day, man. Man, I done made love to my lady, the Mink Slide, man. I mean, listen to that shit. Man, I got all the hidden colors. I never bootlegged them, though. I ain't never bootlegged none of them, though. I promise you that, though. I had made some copies for free and gave them out, but I didn't sell them. That's how much I love you, my nigga. I love you. Look, I was going to name one of my kids Mateo, just like you named one of your kid, man. I love you, nigga. Where Peanut at? Tell Peanut I say, hey. Niggas are real extra when they see you. You dig, and you respect it. Okay, thank you. You're happy to see somebody, and that's fine. That's fine. But and you know, you take it with a grain of salt. I don't eat that up. I know he's being extra. I know that. People are just being extra as hell. So it goes in one end out the other. Now some people, they hear that, they be like, I'm the best. Let me stop. But you know, people. You hear that. You get an Alec Baldwin. He hears that. Oh, man, black people love me. Oh, my God, black people love me. So he starts actually believing that. And talking about black people are scared of Trump. We're not scared of Trump. Black people are not scared of Trump. We're not scared of Trump at all. What? Well, black people are scared of Trump. What's Trump going to do that y'all liberals weren't doing? What is Trump going to do that the liberals weren't doing? They're already targeting us. They're already killing our damn kids. So if they start letting these white supremacist militia groups and all these people get the green light, then it's on and fucking popping then. We're not scared of no damn Trump. We didn't have to deal with the Darren Wilsons, the George Zimmermans, the Daniel Pantaleos, all of these people under the damn Democrats. We had to deal with some hardcore white supremacist murderers who's still walking around. You dig? We ain't scared of no damn Trump. We're not scared of Trump. So understand, they have that same mentality. Even though they'll mock each other and they'll bicker and fight with each other, they still have the same mentality. They still look at us as property. They still look at us as mascots. And again, remember, Alec Baldwin, a couple of years ago, look that up. It was a paparazzi taking pictures of him, and he called him all types of niggas and coons and was talking real greasy about this brother. And the brother had filed a harassment charge against Alec Baldwin for the racial epithets. Alec Baldwin ain't no goddamn different from Trump. None. Not at all. He ain't no damn different from Trump. You dig? We got to stop falling for that. They're two sides of the same coin. Ain't no goddamn difference whatsoever. So black folks, it's election season. Don't let these white supremacists run game on you. They're going to be out here campaigning. They're going to be out here smiling, grinning all in your face. Our mindset should be on empowerment, meaning we got to get our economic game up. We got to get our code game up. Not only that, we got to get our military game up. And the military is in your mind. I want y'all to understand that military is in your brain. That's where the military is. Because you got these crazed white supremacists ready to go all out, so you better have a soldier mentality. It ain't about getting in a room with a bunch of niggas and all that. You better have that soldier mentality to protect yourself and your family by any means necessary. Look at Haiti. Always look at Haiti and the Haitian Revolution. That's something that you really, really, really got to study. That's why y'all got to go get 1804, The Hidden History of Haiti, and study that. Over there in Bois Cayman, there's, you know, they had that voodoo ceremony at Bois Cayman in Haiti. That's, I think that's over there where that earthquake struck. Shout out to all the Zoes in the room, all my Haitian brothers and sisters. But from what I understand, a lot of the white supremacists, they feel a certain way about black folks going up there to Bois Cayman to this day. I think they cut the trees down. They don't like folks going up there to the Bois Cayman site. That's a sore spot today. They don't even like the idea of black folks going up there to the Bois Cayman site because of what it represents. They don't like that. But you study how the people all got on code. Everybody got a code, and that is the thing that made them successful. They became soldiers among themselves. They became soldiers. They became their own army. You understand? They became their own army. Because like Neely Fuller says, black folks, we try to get organizations and all that. So you don't need no organizations, because what happens when you get organizations, they get infiltrated. Because when you have an organization, you have a leader and all that old shit. So that easily gets infiltrated. People can't wait for you to create an organization just for the purpose of it being infiltrated. And you got too many coons out here who's just sitting up waiting to snitch on you, waiting to tell on you. So you don't need no organization. The organization is in your mind. The military is always in your mind. And another thing, as far as organizations and groups, black people, and I can't stress this enough, black people, please stop being fooled by all the yo-yo-yo white boy who's acting down. And black people, please get this. We gonna invite somebody to the damn barbecue. That garbage, please stop that. Can black people please stop that inviting people to the barbecue bullshit? Because they done said something or done something that done impress you, and all of a sudden we gonna welcome them into the house with open arms. That's why we get fucked up in the first place. That's the main reason we got our asses handed to us, because we start letting people to the damn barbecue. All these Michael Rappaports and all these dudes. Michael Rappaports, is he full alt-right now? He's just going all the way alt-right with his shit. The shit he be talking. And that little Tekashi 6ix9ine, he tweeted some shit the other day or posted something up. It was a wedding video of a black man marrying this sister, and he was real happy. And Tekashi was like, yeah, he should have married a white woman. He's trying to be funny so people can react to him. So you know, y'all bringing these little dickheads around with all that yo-yo-yo bullshit, and they keep slipping in their little jabs. Black folks, y'all gonna get enough of that shit, bringing that type of shit around. Let me play this clip for you guys. This is from the First 48. There's a clip from the First 48 television show. This little white boy, he's a gangbanger, and there was some kind of crime committed. They stole. So now the white boy is up here with the police in the interrogation room. So all his yo-yo-yo talk, he ain't talking that yo-yo-yo talk no more. I want y'all to hear this. And I want y'all to hear something that this white kid says. He's like, I think he's 19. So he's in an interrogation room. And I've been telling y'all this for years. And this just came on TV the other day. When these white boys go into the interrogation room, all that yo-yo-yo bullshit goes right out the window. These white girls, y'all niggas be fucking on, and they be all that, yeah, nigga, yo-yo-yo. All that goes out the window, too. But look at this. Listen to this.
Hooked up with Marquise.
Hopped in the truck, left.
Okay, how many people are in the truck when you get in?
Marquise is in there.
Okay.
Two other people.
He says Marquise was in the back seat. The two others were in the front.
Do you know either one of them?
What's their names?
I don't know them like that. Like, well, I said,
okay, but what do they go by?
I don't know the street names because I don't gangbang. I'm a white boy. I used to gang, but I dropped all that. I dropped it straight up because I'm not going to get in that life, and I don't want to be in that life.
Did you hear him? I don't, boy, he not only is he sounding white, he's saying, look, I don't gangbang. I'm a white boy. All the yo gangster shit then went right out the window. I done warned y'all about this for years. All that, yeah, motherfucker, yeah. I don't gangbang. I'm a white boy. Boy, the mayonnaise came right on out. Hold on.
Was in the back seat. The two others.
Let me turn it up. Somebody said the sound is low.
Do you know either one of them?
What's their names? I don't know them like that. Okay,
but what do they go by?
I don't know the street names because I don't gangbang. I'm a white boy. I used to gang, but I dropped all that. I dropped it straight up because I'm not going to get in that life, but I don't want to be in that life. I want to be a white boy like me and you are. I want to be a regular person.
Now, I want y'all to catch. Did y'all catch what he just said? It was two cops in there. One cop is black and another white cop in there. Is the black cop interrogating him? The kid said, well, I'm going to stop calling him a kid. He's a grown ass fucking man. He said, I'm a white boy. I don't want to be a gang worker. I want to be a white boy like me and you. He pointed to the white cop like, hey, let's get on code and you save me. I'm white like you. You see? They know what white supremacy is. Oh, he went full. Oh, he turned into Richard fucking Spencer. Well, I'm a white boy like you.
Okay, but what do they go by?
I don't know.
I want y'all to catch that again.
I'm a white boy. I used to bang, but I dropped all that. I dropped it straight up because I'm not going to get in that life, and I don't want to be in that life. I want to be a white boy like me and you are. I want to be a regular person.
Well, what am I?
A regular person? You are both great guys. Thank you, guys.
Five,
so go home.
Okay.
So, what was the plan? The other two kicked in someone's door.
Chase says earlier on the night of the murder, he and the other three suspects burglarized an apartment.
I did go up in there. I'm going to be real honest with you. I did go in there, but I didn't really take a lot out of that guy's house. Was just following them, and that was it. And I don't even know why the f*** I was doing it. To be real, because I got people grown like y'all telling me I'm a leader, not a follower.
What did they end up getting?
Okay, so he's dropping all the beans. And that yo, white boy that y'all be hanging with and all that old shit, that's him. When he gets in that interrogation room, the Takashis and all these dudes, when they get in that interrogation room, come on, man. Can I have a cigarette and some mayonnaise? I have a story to tell, dude. I'm a white boy like you, dude. We're bros. I want to watch the whole episode to find out what happened to this dude. Because he was spitting. He was trying to get on code. He was telling them, we got to get on code. I'm white like you. He just straight out said it. I'm white like you. Why is this nigga interrogating me? Come on. Don't you see I'm white? Come on, dude. I'm fucking white, bro. I'll tell all the niggers, just let me fucking go home, dude. Y'all sitting up here thinking y'all got a yo down ass white boy to come to the barbecue with you. Black folks, let's wise up. Ain't no time for no damn barbecue with these people. We better be on code, man. Yeah, just like that white Crip out, quote unquote white Crip, and shame on the niggas out here in LA. Y'all should have known better. Niggas, y'all should have known better. Having that white Crip who went on a drive-by with you and everybody went to jail but him, and he was the damn driver. So he went up in court. Hey, dude, I'm white like you. I'm not a fucking Crip no more, dude. I don't even like the fucking color blue, dude. I like mayonnaise, bro. So he changed up real quick. You dig? So black folks, come on. We got to wise up. Ain't no friends. Just because somebody's claiming liberal, that don't mean nothing. Just because a white girl is trying to have a threesome with you and her buddy, that don't mean nothing. She can still be team white supremacy. Your white homeboy want to go do a drive-by. He got all the guns and the dope and everything and all the connects. He'll turn into Jared Taylor in an interrogation room. We all we got. We all we got, and that's okay. It's enough of us to utilize all we got and be the best we can be as long as we get on code, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, let me get up out of here, man. It's been late. It's late. It's late as hell out here in L.A. It's like 1:30 in the morning out here in L.A. It's 2,000 of y'all up here watching live right now. Y'all in here heavy. By the way, y'all know the Mink Slide concert in Atlanta. We're going to be in Atlanta, my group, Mink Slide. We're going to be in Atlanta doing a concert, and that's going to be the only concert of the year. That might even be the only concert in a while, because I'm not getting these shows together. Oh, man, it's a lot of work, and this takes a lot of my damn time. This shit takes a lot of time. This takes a lot of goddamn time. Let me play a Mink Slide song while I'm talking. But it takes a lot of time to get these shows together. And, you know, we're rehearsing for the concert down in Atlanta. And I got other people from other countries wanting us to come out. I'm like, oh, I can't do all that right now. I'm in the middle of doing a movie. So we're not going to do any more shows. Atlanta's going to be the only show, the only concert we're doing for a while. I'll say that. Because this is very time consuming. So we're just going to have one big, great, grand show down in Atlanta on December 22nd. So we're not doing no other shows nowhere else around the country around that time. We were going to do something. No, we're not going to do it. No. It's all the traveling, and I got a whole big ass band, and I'm like, shit. It's a thing. So look, we're going to have one big show. It's a one big show, December 22nd. So wherever you are, just come on down to Atlanta. Get your tickets now at minkslide.com. Yeah, we were going to do DC. It's too much of a headache. I know. I got to really finish these films, though. I got a couple of films. I'm knocking out Hidden Colors 5, and there's another film I want to do. So I can't be on the road like that. Because this, it's a thing, man. It is a whole thing to travel around like that. So not right now. We're just going to do that one big show in Atlanta. We're just going to make it a big-ass party. It's going to be one big party. So everybody, wherever you are, even if you're overseas, come on through. Come on through to the Mink Slide party show. We're going to actually, what we're going to do on the 22nd in Atlanta, we're going to film it, and we're going to make some of the footage into an actual music video, and some of the footage is going to be part of a documentary too. So it's going to be filmed. So be a part of that. Be a part of that. This is going to be a very spectacular moment. It's going to be a very rare moment. So y'all need to be a part of that. We got to understand the rarities of things. When something is rare, y'all got to be a part of that thing. So this is going to be like a once in a lifetime thing. Certain things, you just got to be there. You dig? Certain moments, you catch them in time. We're going to have a big ass party. We're going to have a real good time. It's dirt cheap. It's damn near free to get in. Basically, you paying for parking. It's basically free to get in there. Go to minkslide.com. Yes, the opening acts will be the APX. We got some fly girl dancers. Oh, man, we're going to put on a good show. It's going to be a real fun time. Good-ass music. And it's going to be safe. Because another thing, too, there was a Lil Wayne concert where somebody got shot down south down there. So a lot of folks were real funny style, you know, about live performances now. A lot of shows, a lot of live performances have been canceled. And I think it's directly due to that shooting that just happened at a Lil Wayne concert, because I know So Def, they had a tour going and they had to cancel about 4 or 5 fucking dates with the So Def tour. So a lot of people are canceling shows because of some of the violence and whatever. Look, our show is a family concert. It's popping. It's safe. Grown-ass folks, everybody Get your tickets at minkslide.com. And subscribe right now. Everybody hit the subscribe button while you're here on YouTube. And yeah, the Lil Wayne concert, it was in Atlanta. It was in Atlanta where that shooting was. It was in Atlanta. So, nevertheless, everybody, December 22nd, I want to see all of you in Atlanta. Because this is going to be a once-in-a-lifetime Mink Slide performance, a real big performance. We're going to video it. We're going to film it. You're going to be a part of it. We're going to have some of y'all come on stage. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a good-ass time for a night. Let your hair down. Have a little levity, as Roland Martin says when he was buck dancing for Hillary. Levity. We're going to have some real levity. We're just not going to be buck dancing for Hillary. We're going to have some levity. So again, minkslide.com. If you're in D.C., come on down to D.C. You're in Chicago, come on down to Atlanta. If you're in D.C., come on down to Atlanta. If you're in New York, come on down to Atlanta. If you're in Alabama, come on down to Atlanta. Get your tickets right now, minkslide.com. Livy P., you said you wish you can go. Where are you, Livy? How come you can't go? What's up, Jonathan? December 22nd is your birthday? My man. Come on down, brother. We'll have one of the ladies give you a birthday dance, brother. Minkslide.com. That's where you can get the tickets right now. It's going to be at Center Stages Theater in Atlanta. Minkslide.com. What's up, Elevation Allah? Use the YouTube studio. I'm going to check that out, brother. Elevation, email me that. Let me check that out. What's up, deals? You say you ain't got no money. Nigga, you ain't got $30? Nigga, that's how much the tickets are, $35. You got $35. That ain't no money. You got that's $35. The tickets are dirt cheap. Come on down there and kick it with Mink Slide. And the APX, they're incredible. What's up, DJ Hitman from Alabama? 2 hours away. My man, I want to see DJ Hitman in the house. Nigga, don't sit up and say you ain't got no money to come to the concert and this nigga got some $800 Jordans and shit. Ladies, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear you talking about you ain't got no money and you got a long ass lace front with sand on the bottom because it's dragging on the ground. You got the longest goddamn lace front you can get out of Sally's Beauty Supply and you got your ass whooped in the store. So you can come on down to the Mink Slide party. You dig? Anyway, y'all, I'm out of here. You guys have a great night. And go to Spotify and Tidal and listen to that Mink Slide album. That's what we're bumping right now. All right, y'all. Y'all be good.